Today's share in the Daf Yomi is Gemara and Sota Daf Mem Zayin. We're learning today Leila Nishmas Miriam Judith Bodek. All the Nishams we learned for Shanev and Aliyah from our learning. We're picking up in the middle of the story we started yesterday with the famous bears that come out of the forest that Elisha had cursed these 42 Na'orim Kitanim, and the bears went and killed them. And we said yesterday, and this was the very top of Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, that this was a Machlokas Rabu Shmuel. One had said that it was a nes, that there was the bears coming out of the forest. The other one said that it was a double nes. It was a nes betoch nes, that there was no forest there beforehand, and now the forest was created and that the bears came out of the forest. So we pick up on this concept on Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, where we pick up with the words, V'levei dubim v'lo levei yar. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to go and create? This is four lines from the top. Mzayin and Aleph. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to create the forest? Let him just create the bears. And the bears will go and attack these children, these Na'orim HaKitanim, which we said really wasn't children, but the bear will go and attack them. V'levi dubim v'lo lehev v'yar. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to create a forest? So again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tries to keep things within the normal as much as possible, because the Gemara says, Diba'ise. Rashi explains, second line, the Rashi, the words Diba'ise. Hadubim lehiskaros behem. The bears would be afraid to go and attack them if they didn't have a place to run to right after they attacked them. Kishem mokum korv lehem lonus ulishabos, to go and run and hide, and this way they would not go and attack the Na'orim Ktanim. Ukshem krovim layar, but if Hashem created a forest and they're near the forest, then they wouldn't be afraid. Yotzin ba'abtocha, they'd go out with confidence and go and attack the Na'orim Ktanim. So the Gemara says, Amar Chanina. Rav Chanina tells us, "V'shul arba mushnayim karbanu shehikriv Balak Melech Moab huvku miYisrael arba ushnayim ilodim." Because of the 42 karbanos that Balak Melech Moab brought in his attempt to curse Klai Yisrael, hiring Bilam. So in those 42 karbanos, Rashi elsewhere tells us that there were 7 parim and 7 elim, and 3 times did Balak stop and try to curse Klai Yisrael by offering these 7 parim and 7 elim. So it's 14 times 3 is 42 in total. So these 42 korbanos that Balak Melech Moab brought, that caused this breach of 42 Na'orim Kitanim from Klai Yisrael. Where questions this is, really? Is that why? Ini? Va'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav taught us, La'olam Yasuk Adam Mitorah Uvi Mitzvos B'Avapi Shalol Lishma. A person should always perform mitzvos and learn Torah, even though he's not doing it for the most idle purposes. He's doing the learning of Torah, so they'll call him a Talmid Chacham, so they'll stand up when he comes into the room, so he'll be the guest of honor. He does the mitzvos because he's afraid. If he doesn't do the mitzvos, people will laugh at him for not the best of purposes. So Yehuda Merab tells us, it's a very famous statement, it's preferable for a person to do Torah mitzvos, even though it's not for the most ideal reason. Afabi Shalom Lishmov, he's not doing it because this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do, but he's doing it for his own ulterior motives, because Shemitah Shalom Lishmov Bolishmov, because even though he doesn't start off doing it lishma, by getting into the routine of doing Torah and mitzvos, he'll end up doing it lishma. Tosas and Brachos points out the only exception to this rule is if you're doing it lekanter, if you're doing it to cause trouble, you're learning, you're doing mitzvos in order to cause trouble. So then, that's not called something that's good to do. But in general, if a person doing it for ulterior motives, so then, mitoch shelo lishma, even though he doesn't start off doing it for the best of reasons, eventually, he'll come lishma. And therefore, Rav Yehuda Merav tells us, Shebeschar Abor Mishnayim Korbanos, where do we learn this idea? Because of the 42 Korbanos, Sheikriv Balach Melech Moab, that Balach, the king of Moab, brought in his attempt to curse Klai Yisrael, Zocha, he was Zocha, he merited to have a descendant, Rus, Yotza Mimenu, Rus, the great Moabite woman, was a descendant of Balak Melech Moab. She Yotza Mimenu Shlomo. Now here we add on these words. In the Masoras Hashas Oz Beis, he brings down that this is not the normal Girsa in all the other places that this Gemara is found, but in any event, it's correct. Rashi obviously didn't have the Girsa over here of She Yotza Mimenu Shlomo, because Rashi tells us in the Ramas Uzoch Yotza Mimenu Rus, he says, and from Rus came She Yotza Mimenu Dovru Shlomo. So obviously he didn't have the Gemara over here, She Yotza Mimenu Shlomo. But in any event, whether you have the Girsa or not, it's true that from Rus came eventually David and Shlomo, Shehirbu Lahakrib Korbanos Lishma. So therefore, Almozel Yascharo, this was his reward. What are you telling me? That these 42 children that were removed from Klai Yisrael, these Na'orim Kitanim that were removed from Klai Yisrael, was a reward to Balak because he brought Korbanos. His reward was that Rus came from him, and that from Rus came David and Shlomo. As the Pasuk says, when Shlomo brought many, many korbanos in the base of Migdash, across the bay, it says about Shlomo Melech, Elif Olos Yalo Shlomo. He brought 1,000 korbanos every day. So therefore, The Amr of Yossi bin Choni, Rus bito shel Eglon binosha Balak Haisa. And Rus, in fact, came from Eglon, who was a son of Balak. And it wasn't maybe a direct lineage. Tosus elsewhere tells us that maybe with generations intervening, we often find that when it says somebody is bino or ben bino, it doesn't literally mean that direct relationship, but it just means progeny. Certainly, Rus came from Balak. And therefore, it was in the Zchus that he brought these 42 korbanos that he had Rus. So how can you tell me in this Zchus, Hufku Misrael Arba Mushtaim Yiladim? Sumer says no, both. Tavaso, his desire was to eradicate Klai Yisrael, and therefore Mio Leklo Lahavi, he was successful, at least in that 42 of these people, the Norim Kitanim, were destroyed from Klai Yisrael because of Balak. Okay. Where it continues and says, "Vayomru Ansha Ir El Elisha." So the people of Yericho said to Elisha, Elisha had come there and sweetened their waters, and they had told him originally that their waters were not sweet; their waters were bad water. And they told Elisha, "Hine no, please, Moshav Ir Tov. This is a beautiful city, Yericho." Now, Gemara is going to ask, "Why are you calling it a beautiful city if it doesn't have good water?" And he says, "The people said to Elisha, Moshav Ir Tov, Kasher Adoni Roeh V'Gomer." And the rest of the pasuk is Kasher Adoni Roeh V'Hamayim Roim V'Aretz Mishakelis. But they themselves knew, and the Navi in Melachim Beis states that the water was very bad, and Rashi over there in Melachim Beis tells us that if the water is bad, umachma samayim ha'aretz mishakel, it says Yoshvel, because they didn't have a good water supply, so the water was impure, the water was spoiled, the water had sewage in it, the water caused them to die, and therefore the water was bad, and therefore the land killed them, and yet they called their city Moshav Ir Tov. It's a beautiful city. Since they had bad water, and that water caused the earth to kill them. In other words, people died in that area. So why are they calling it a good, beautiful place? Elamato Vaso. Why are they referring to it as a beautiful place? That's Gemara's question. And I'm Rabbi Chanin. Rabbi Chanin tells us, Chain Mokom Al Yoshvav. It's interesting, his name is Rabbi Chanin, which has the word Chain in it. So Rabbi Chanin tells us, Chain Mokom Al Yoshvav. The people of an area always love the area. There are people that live in places that objectively most people wouldn't want to live in. And yet those people say, my place is beautiful. They live in a very cold area. They live in a very dry area. They live in a very hot area. And other people would say, I wouldn't want to live there. And yet those people that live there, they say, wow, we have a paradise over here. Everybody thinks their hometown is good. Most people have a natural tendency to love the place where they were born. And that is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the world. Rabbi Chanan tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed into the world this idea that people should love their hometown. And the reason for that is so the entire world stays populated and settled, because if everybody only wanted to live in the most beautiful, best, simplest, most nice place in the world, so then the rest of the world would remain uninhabited. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that everybody likes their place. People have a natural proclivity to liking and living in the place where they were born and where they spend their time. And therefore, that is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did as a favor. Chein Mokom Ayoshvav. And Amar Rav Yochanan added, it's interesting again, the Rav Yochanan also has the word Chein in his name. He says, Shlosha Chinos Chein. There are three types of Chein that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the world. Number one, Chein Mokom Ayoshvav, which Rav Chanan just said, that people like their hometowns. Number two is Chein Isha Bala, that a woman is beloved by her husband. Even though another person may say objectively, that woman is not pretty, that woman is not nice, that woman doesn't have Chein, but to her husband she has Chein. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it this way because a husband and wife have to enjoy being together. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that even while objectively other people may not think that that wife is something, but that husband thinks his wife is the best thing in the world. And that's the way it should be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this Chein Isha Al Bala. And our Shah points out that these things were predestined, so to say. Adam and Rishon decided where the world would be settled. And 40 days before the birth of a person, it's declared in Shemayim that so-and-so will marry Bas Ploni. So therefore, all of these things are predestined. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that people will especially love it. So therefore, this is the Chein explanation why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made these types of Chein. And the third one is Chein Mekach Al Mikcho. That when a person buys something, so he likes what he buys. Everybody likes what they purchase. And objectively, other people may say, really, that's not that good. But this person bought it, and he likes it very, very much. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made these things so a person should be happy with their lives. Gemara tells us, Tana Rabban, we learn the following braisa, Shlosha Chaloyim Cholo Elisha. Elisha got sick three times in his lifetime. Now, in those days, people didn't necessarily get better from the sicknesses. And the Gemara tells us elsewhere that when Elisha got sick, this type of sickness nobody had ever gotten healed from before, and Elisha David, and he was eventually healed from this illness. So we learn now, darshening the psukim, the pasuk, as we'll see in a moment, will tell us, Elisha cholo es cholyo asher yavos bo, and that doesn't mean that he only had one sickness, but we'll darshen that for three sicknesses. And that's what the Brisa tells us. Elisha got sick three times in his life. The first two times he recovered, and only he died the third time. The first time he got sick was Echad Shegira Dubim Tinokos, because he cursed the Narim Kitanim, and the Dubim, the two bears, came out from the forest and killed 42 of these Narim Kitanim. So Elisha was punished for that. He got sick, albeit he recovered. The second time was Ve'echad Shedechofo LeGeichaze B'shtei Yodayim. Elisha pushed away his servant Geichaze. He did something wrong. Gehazi did something terrible, and Elisha was too harsh on him. He pushed him away with both hands. As the Gemara will say, you should push away with the left hand, but recover the person, bring back the person with the right hand. In other words, don't push them away so hard. He pushed away Gehazi too hard, and he was punished for that as well with the second sickness, for which he got better. And then the third time he got sick, he died. The Echad Shemesbo, the final sickness, was the one that killed him. And this is based upon Darshi in the Pasuk. Rashi says, Shenemar, the Elisha Cholo Eschoyo Asher Yomusbo. So Rashi says, Cholo is sickness number one, Eschoyo is sickness number two, and then sickness number three is Asher Yomusbo. That's what Rashi says. Tanur Rabban, we have another Brisa. Le'olam te small docha v'yamin mekarevis. That a person, whenever he's giving tochacha, he's giving reproof to somebody, he's pushing somebody away, he has to be harsh on somebody, so always be harsh with your left, which means not so strong, and recover them, try to bring them back, mikarevis, to bring them back with your right. Remember hearing from a Pesach Kron, Shlita, many, many years ago, one of the first lectures I ever heard from him, he's a person I consider a chaver as well as a rebbe, and Rabbi Pesach Kron said that when you push away, he said the name of a god, I don't remember who, said when you push away with the left hand, but you bring back with the right, you turn the person around. So it's a beautiful idea. So that's one explanation over here. The Mepharshim also bring down, this can be seen in the Iyun Yaakov, where he says that Lev Chacham B'Yamin V'lo K'sil L'Smolo. So what this is telling us is that when you push somebody away, you push them away with the K'sil, which is the left, and you bring them back with Chachba, which is the right. In any event, what he's telling us over here in this price is don't do Lo K'Elisha Shedochav L'Gechazeh B'Shteyodav, as we just pointed out. Don't do what Elisha did. Elisha was an unbelievably great Navi. He was one of the greatest Navim of all time. And yet, he was held accountable for being too harsh on Gehazi. Gehazi deserved to be reproved. He deserved to be criticized. Yet, Elisha did it too harshly. And therefore, Elisha was held accountable. So, the Gemara is telling us, the Brice is telling us, don't be like Elisha, that he pushed away Gehazi b'shtei yadav. Push away with the left, return with the right. And likewise, don't do Veloki Yeshua ben Prachia, what the great Tanya Yeshua ben Prachia did to one of his Talmidim, which we'll see who that Talmud was, an unbelievable story which is hidden from the Shas. It was taken out from the Shas by the censors, and we'll see the censored version of the Shas. So what the great Tanna, Yeshua ben Faraki did, he pushed away one of his Talmidim too harshly with both of his hands, and boy, oh boy, did that cause a tremendous taka law for Kai Yisrael for all time. Now, the word is going to explain these two stories. It starts off with the Elisha story. Elisha, Mahi. What did Elisha do? How did he push away Gehazi with both of his hands? So this is the famous story with Naaman. Naaman was one of the generals, and he got Tzaraas, and he couldn't get cured. He went to all the doctors, he went to all the priests, and nobody could cure him. So they told him, well, there's this guy, Elisha, maybe he can cure you. So he went to Elisha. Elisha wouldn't even see him. Elisha told him, just go into the Yarden. If you go and immerse yourself in the Yarden, you'll be cured. Now, he was very upset, because I came all the way to see you, and you're not even going to see me, and just tell me to go immerse in the Yarden. No, he was convinced by his advisors, listen, he's a great holy person. So Naaman went into the Yarden, and lo and behold, his tzaras was taken away. He was so happy, so excited, he wanted to give Elisha a present. He thanked him, he became a righteous individual, but Elisha said, no, I'm not taking any money from you. Now Gehazi heard all this, and Gehazi was salivating. He said, wow, we could make a fortune over here. So what happened? After Naaman leaves, Gehazi runs after him. Dersiv, Vayomer Naaman, Hoel, Kach, Ki Koroyim. So Gehazi ran after Naaman and said, oh, Elisha had a change of heart. So Rashi over there on Melachim Beis tells us that Hoel means a lashon of a shvua. Hishava, he told him, go and swear, Shelisha Sholchecha. He didn't believe him. He knew Elisha was a holy person. When Elisha told him, no, I don't want any money from you, he was shocked to see that Naaman said, well, he changed his mind. So he told Gehazi, go and swear, Hoel, Kach Kikorayim. And if you swear, so then I'll give you Kikorayim. I'll give you two talents of silver, two kikars of silver. Oh, okay. Now, he eventually comes back to Elisha. Elisha sees he has some tzaras on him. So Elisha knows something is going on. So he tells him, I see you took money from Naaman. Uksib. So the pasuk tells us, Vayomer elav, Elisha tells Gehazi, Lo libi halach. You didn't do what I asked you to do. Lo libi halach, kasher ofach ish me'almer kavto likorsecha. Ha'es lakaches es ha'kesef, lakaches begodim, v'zeisim, uchramim, v'tzon, v'akar, v'avadim, u'shvachos. And Elisha tells him, is now the time to go and collect reward? We'll see that we're learning the Perek of Shmona Shvatzim in Shabbos. This is the 14th Perek in Shabbos. And they were learning that, and it's the Shmona Shvatzim. So Elisha alluded to that by saying, is now the time to collect for the learning of the Shmona Shvatzim? He told him, go collect the Kesef, number one, Begadim, number two, Zeisim, three, Krumim, four, Tzon, five, Bakar, six, Avadim, seven, Shvachos, eight. So is now the time to go and collect on Aschai? You want to collect in this world and not in the Olam HaEmes? You're making a terrible mistake. And he cursed him. He pushed him away. Gemara says, "Umi shaku kuli hai." So Gehazi says he only took the two kikorayim. So what are you telling us over here that he took all these eight things? So Gemara says, "Kesef ubegadim u'dishakel." He only took money and he took some clothing as well. So Amar Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak says, "Ba'osa shah Elisha osek b'shmona shvatzim." At that moment, Elisha was teaching the chaverim, including Gehazi, the Gemara and Shabbos in the 14th parak called Shmona Shvatzim. And Amar Lo, he said to Gehazi, Russia, you wicked person. Higia Ace, is now the time, Lito Schayer Shmona Shvatzim, to go and collect this. We should wait till the Olam HaEmes to collect it, not in this world. And therefore, he cursed him. And he said, Vitzaras Naaman, the Tzaras that Naaman had, Tigdabak Becha, he should attach himself to you, and as well, Ubezarecha, and to your children, Liolam, forever. Some suggest that because he attached it not only to Gehazi, but also to his children, that's why this was pushing him away with two hands. Now, why did he attach it to his children? Because the children knew that their father Gehazi had taken the silver and the clothing without Elisha's permission, and they should have told him, listen, Tati, you did something wrong. Go and return it. In any event, Elisha cursed both Gehazi and his three sons that they should have this tzaras. As this is one of the famous haftarahs that we have, the Arba Anashim Ayu B'tzaram, the four mitzvahs that are described, and Amar Yochanan, this is a reference to Zeh Gehazi Ushloshes Banav, Gehazi and his three sons. Okay, now, Vayelech Elisha Damesek. Now that's the words that we have in the pasuk, but actually the pasuk doesn't say Vayelech Elisha. The pasuk actually says Vayavo Elisha Damesek. It's just a misprint. Now it's probably misprinted in the Gemara because the next words are Lomo Holach. The Gemara asks, why did Elisha go to Damesek, to Damascus? So that's why Mestama, the printers made a mistake over here, Vayelech Elisha, because they saw the next words were Lama Halak, so they figured Vayavo was wrong. But anyway, the pasuk is Vayavo Elisha Damesek, and the Gemara now asks, why did he go there? So Rabbi Yochanan, tells us, Shehalach Laziro LeGehazi B'Tshuva, because he knew he pushed away Gehazi, but now he wanted them to come back. He wanted them to do Tshuva. However, Gehazi didn't return. He didn't do Tshuva, V'lo Chazar. Why? So Amar Lo, Elisha said to Gehazi, Chazar B'cha, do Tshuva, come back. And I'm low. So Gehazi says back to Elisha, no, I can't. Kach mekublani mimcha. I learned myself from you. You said, call me shechata vehechti etzarabim. If somebody sins, and not only did he sin for himself, but he caused the rabim to sin, so then, ain ma speaking miyodo lasos tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't make it easy for him to do tshuva. Now, it doesn't mean that he can't do tshuva. It just means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not let him do tshuva easily. In other words, Hashem won't help him. Hashem won't make it possible for him to do tshuva. Normally, Hashem helps us to do tshuva. If we show a desire to do tshuva, Hashem helps us. But here, the person will be, so to say, on their own. And therefore, it's very difficult for him to do tshuva. So Gehazi said to Elisha, I ain't going to be successful, so that's why I'm not going to try. Now, Gehazi had said that I learned from you, if you were a machtias or rabim, then you can't do tshuva. What sin did Gehazi do? We see over here that he took the money, but that's not machtias or rabim. So what sin did he do that he felt that he couldn't do tshuva because he was machtias or rabim? So we'll have three answers in the Gemara. First one is, when he says, my avad, what did Gehazi do that caused him to be machtias or rabim? So the first version is, ikud yamrei, some say that there was an evan sho'eves. An evan sho'eves is a magnet. As Rashi points out over here, Evin Shoeves is a magnet, Shemagbas es hamateches minoris, that can lift up, it's a very powerful magnet, that can lift up metal from the ground. If anybody's ever been in an area where there's an MRI, they know that there's tremendous warnings around the MRI section. Don't go in here with anything metal. Because Rachmana Litzlan, if somebody goes in there with something metal, they will be dragged towards the magnet, which is so powerful, and it can actually pull. The Nebuchadnezzar case is reported where people did go in there with something metal on them, and they were crushed by the magnet. It pulled them with such force. So apparently, Gehazi knew about this, and there are other cases where we find that they knew about magnets, and Umamidas Ba'avir, and used these magnets to lift up the cows, the egel that they had placed in the various houses of worship that they had, the two Beis HaMikdashes, quote, that Yerubim ben Nevat had set up. So therefore, Ika the Armei, Evan Shoeves, Tolulo, Lechatas Yerubim, that he placed these magnets there so it lifted up the cows that Yerubim had put over there. Vamido being Shamayim Loritz, and it looked like they were suspended in midair, and therefore it gave the impression that they were really a true Avodah Zarah. That's the first version. He was Machti Yisarabim by doing this. He said, whoa, this must be real. Look, the Avodah Zarah, it's flying in the air. The second possible explanation of what he was Machti Yisarabim, Miko the Amrei, was shame. He took the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Chokach Lo Apuma, and he put it into, or he graved it into the mouth of these calves, and they started to talk, and they would say the Aser Sederos, Vayisa Meres, and this cow, this calf, now spoke, said, Anoche Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzeitcha Mi Eretz Yisrael, Neis Avodim, V'loyeh L'chol Elokim Acharim, Me'al Panoi. So it looked like this cow was claiming to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it spoke, and it was unnatural, so therefore people believed it, so he was Machti Yisrael. The third possibility, Vikud the Amrei, Rabbanon Docha Mikameh, that there were many Talmidim that wanted to come into the Shir, into the base Medrash of Elisha, and Gehazi didn't let him come in. How do we know that? Because the Pasuk tells us, after Gehazi was sent away, all of a sudden it got crowded. All the Talmidim of Elisha, the Bnei Anavim, said to Elisha, hey, it's really crowded in the base of Medrash. That place where we're sitting in front of you and learning, it's very, very tight. It's very, very cramped. It never used to be. The Gemara says, until now, Gehazi didn't let a lot of the Talmidim in. So therefore, there was plenty of room. Now, when Gehazi wasn't keeping the Talmidim out, all of a sudden the place was packed. So therefore, he was Machti Yisarab, and they didn't come to let them learn Torah. So one of these three things, possibly all of them, were the reasons that Gehazi felt that he was a Machti Yisarab, and he wouldn't be able to do tshuva. That's the story of Elisha and Gehazi. Now we come to one of the most famous stories that is censored in the Shas. Some editions of the Shas don't even have this whole story. They leave it out and it's blank. Others, like our Gemara, and many of the older Gemaras, so they just have the story without saying who the Talmud was. But some of the newer Gemaras, and if you look in the Sefer called Chisronos HaShas, so they bring down that this Talmud is none other than Yeshu HaNotzri, Jesus of Nazareth. And, in fact, they substitute in the word in various places, Yeshu. So we'll read the story as it was originally uncensored. So Yeshua ben Prachi, Mahi, what's the story? Yeshua ben Prachi pushed away one of his Talmidim, Yeshu HaNotzri. He pushed him away with two hands and he did something wrong. There was a king in Klal Yisrael whose name was Yanei HaMelech, Yanei Malka, and he unfortunately got into fights with the Prushim, with the rabbis, and he didn't like what they were telling him to do. So therefore he killed off many of the great Chachamim. Some of them escaped, such as Shimon ben Shetach, who happened to be his brother-in-law. Melech Yanai was married to Shimon ben Shetach's sister. So Shimon Shetach was able to be saved by his sister, the queen. So Shimon ben Shetach atminu achose. His sister hid him. She was the wife of Yanai HaMelech, and she had enough power. She was able to hide her husband, Shimon ben Shetach. However, the Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachia, and here in the censored Gemaras, in the Chisronos HaShas, adds the Yeshu. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachia and his Talmud Yeshu, they ran away. Azal, they ran away. Arak l'Alexandria shel Mitzrayim. They ran away to Alexandria Mitzrayim in order to be saved from being killed from Yanei Malka. No, ki havi Shlomo, finally, Yanei Malka was no longer angry at the rabbis. That in itself is an interesting story. He didn't know how to bench. So he was a frum guy. So he asked, is there any rabbi around that can teach me how to bench? So his wife, the queen, said, yeah, I'll bring you Shimon B'Shetach if you promise not to hurt him. And he brings him Shimon B'Shetach, and Shimon B'Shetach says, how can I bench? You're not giving me any food. So he gives him food, the whole stories, other very fascinating Gemaras elsewhere to tell us what happened and transpired. In any event, he no longer was trying to kill the Rabbanim. So, Ki Avi Shlomo, now that there's peace, the Rabbanim was somewhat safe to go back and return to live in Eretz Yisrael under Yanei Malka. So, Shalach Le Shimon B'Shetach to Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachia. So, Shimon B'Shetach, who was subordinate to Rav Yeshua ben Prachia, who was the Nasi, so he told them the following, Mini, from me, Yerushalayim, Ira Kodesh, Loch Alexandria Shul Mitzrayim. I'm sending you a message here from us in Yerushalayim to you in Alexandria Shul Mitzrayim. Achosi, you're our sister city. Bali Sharoi Besochech. Our husband is inside of you. In other words, Rabbi Yeshua ben Parakia, who is the Nasi, is like the Baal of all the Chachamim. He's inside of you. Vani Yosheves, and I sit here, Shema Meshetach, saying, I'm here alone in Yerushalayim, Shomeima, all by myself. Rabbi Yeshua ben Parakia understood this, so therefore, that it was safe to come back. Omar, he said, Mestom, he said to himself, as well as to his Talmud, Yeshu, Shema Mina, Havale Shlomo, it's now peaceful back there in Yerushalayim. Yani Amalka, stop killing the Rabbanan, and we can go back. Okay, so they travel back from Alexandria Mitzrayim to Yerushalayim. He also, on the way, Ikla Lahaushbiza, they go to a certain hotel, and Kom Kamayu Biyakara Shapir. And the lady in charge of the hotel treats him with tremendous kavod. She takes great care of him. Abdele Yakara Tuva, he does unbelievable honor to him. He's the great Yeshua ben Parakia, and she treats him extremely well, gives him tremendous honor. So afterwards, he said, Yosef, he was sitting, and he was praising her, this lady, this innkeeper, this hostess over here, was unbelievably nice to us. Rashi tells us, this is on the last line of the Rashi side, and then it switches over to the Tosa side. He said that he meant that she was unbelievably nice in her actions, b'ma'aseha. However, his Talmud, Yeshu HaNotzri, Amalwechami Talmidav, tells him, Rebbe, he tells Yeshua ben Parakia, who's his Rebbe, Yeshu HaNotzri, learned by the great Tana, Yeshua ben Parakia. And he tells him, Rebbe, Einaha Trutos, she ain't so pretty, her eyes are too round. Yeshua ben Parakia is shocked that his Talmud is looking at a married woman. This lady was a married woman, and he's commenting about her looks. So I'm a low Rasha, he calls him a wicked person. This is what you're engaging in? This is what you're taking, looking at? A married woman, Rashi says? Apik arba meyoshpure. He takes out 400 chauffeurs. Vishamte. Now, this is an exaggeration. Number 300, number 400 are usually exaggerations, but it means with big public fanfare, Vishamte. And he was putting into Cherim Yeshu HaNotzri. Now, Yeshu HaNotzri wanted to do tshuva. However, his Rebbe wasn't so quick to accept it, and that's the problem over here. So Kol Yomo Asa L'Kameh, every day Yeshua Notzri came to Rav Shua ben Parakia to ask for forgiveness, the low kableh. But Rav Shua ben Parakia said, no, it's not time yet, and he kept on pushing him away. Finally, one day, Yomo Chad, Havakari Kriyashma, where Rav Shua ben Parakia was reading Kriyashma, Mestama, Yeshua Notzri didn't see this, or else he would have known not to come over. Asa L'Kameh, this Talmud, Yeshua HaNotzri, came to Rav Shua ben Parakia to go and ask him again for forgiveness. And at this point in time, Hava B'dayte L'Kabule, Rav Shua ben Parakia was about to say, yes, I'll accept your tshuva, but he was in the middle of Shema. So he signaled to him, Ach V'lei B'yodei, he signaled to him, Rashi says, Sheyikablenu. He basically said, 1 second, but I will accept it. That's what he signaled to him, but Yeshua HaNotzri misunderstood. Savar, he thought, Midcha dochile, that he was still pushing him away, and he said, that's it. Ozal, he went away, Zokat Luvenasa, he put up a brick and palcha, and worshipped this brick as if it was a Vodazara. Now, when Yeshua ben Parakia finished his Kriyashma, he went to him and said, what are you doing? Amalei, chazar b'cha, do tshuva. Amalei, but this Talmud, Yeshua ben Parakia's Talmud, Yeshua notes, he said, you yourself taught me, kach b'kuvlani mimcha, if anybody sins and causes others to sin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't make it easy for him to do tshuva. Yes, it's possible, but it won't be easy, and therefore, I'm going off the derech. And we know what happened to Yeshua HaNotzri when he went off the derech. How many Nebuch Jewish people have died because Yeshua HaNotzri was pushed off the derech a little bit too hard by Rabbi Yeshua ben Parakia. That's the point of this Gemara. Now, how was he Chote Yomachti? With this story, with the saying that the lady had her eyes weren't so beautiful, that's a personal sin. He's looking at a married woman in a sensual way, so that's inappropriate. But that's a personal sin. How is he chotei umachti? So the Gemara tells us the Amar. Then there's a whole sefer known as Toldos Yeshu HaNotzri, which goes into unbelievable detail in some of the kishuf and some of the things that Yeshu HaNotzri did. In any event, the Amar. Kishef vehesis vidiach vehechtiyas Yisrael. He went and did all sorts of black magic. He used the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Sefer told us Yeshua HaNotzri tells us all sorts of unbelievable things that he did with the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He took it out of the Holy of Holies. All sorts of fantastically wild things, and as a result, he was able to be, unfortunately, able to cause other people to go off the derech. The Hesis v'idiach, the Hechti, Es Yisrael. Many people, unfortunately, followed him, and we know, unfortunately, what happened. Now, what's interesting, the Tosfos HaRosh brings down over here that there were two Yeshua Notzris, the one that lived in this time, and one that lived in another time, but in any event, this is the story of the Talmud of Yeshua Meprachia, which the sense of the Gemara tells us his name was Yeshu HaNotzri. Gemara concludes over here before the Mishnah, Tanya, Rosh Hashanah Meir, Yetzer, Tinok, V'isha. These three things, the person's Yetzer, Hara, for relations, Tinok, a young child who hasn't yet fully matured, and Isha, and a woman, a person's wife, there's a potential here for them to go and change you in a negative way, so you always have to be very careful. Taste small, docha, you push them away with your left hand, the yomim mekarebis, but you keep them close with your right hand. Why is that? So Rashi tells us, yetzer means the yetzer so tashmish, the desire that a man has to have tashmish. So obviously, that's a necessary desire in the world, because without that desire, the Gemara in Yuma tells us that when they asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take away that desire, so then chickens didn't lay eggs anymore. So the desire for tashmish is necessary for the kiyum of the olam. However, you have to keep it at bay somewhat. You have to push it away. You can't be constantly just doing activities of tashmish. The person has to keep it somewhat at bay. So you push it away with your left hand and you makar with your right hand. Likewise, a tino, a young child, is unbridled. They sometimes do things that are inappropriate. So you have to go and, again, keep them at bay. Rashi elsewhere tells us that these people, im tidche osam, this child, and the same thing applies to a wife, if you go and are too harsh with them, so then, mitardon min olam, you can chas v'shalom make them go off the derech. So therefore, one has to use a tremendous sense when it comes to children, when it comes with your wife, how to properly maintain a relationship with them, and as well, the proper perspective a person has to have in terms of tashmish hamita. Okay, fantastic idea, but we have to go weiter. Again, it's a very long shir, a very wonderful dapin, but we have to get through them. Nim Sauri, the Mishnah tells us, if you find the person who committed the murder, the egla rufa process was done for, so if you find the murderer, achalon erfa egla, before the egla was actually decapitated, so then it's not kadosh, it's not like a carbon, teitze v'tira beida, it goes back into the flock, and it doesn't have kedusha to it. Rashi tells us, in the Ramasal, teitze v'tira beida, in the Tosfos side of the dap, he says, this is the opinion of this Tana. The Haitana, Lesle Hodamrina, that doesn't hold like the opinion that is elsewhere brought down, that as soon as the Egla Rufa is brought down into the Yeridasa, Lenachal Eson, so then Osrasa, it becomes Osur, and this Tana of our Mishnah doesn't hold like that. He says, as long as it hasn't been decapitated, it still is Chulin, and it can go free if they find the murderer. Because once they find the murderer, so then there's no reason to do the Egla Rufa process. Now, Misha Nerfa Ha'egla, if, however, they decapitated the Egla, and then they find the murderer, even though they haven't finished burying it, tikafer b'mkoma, you still go and bury it, because sha'al sofik basa mitchilasa, because it did what it was supposed to do. It's supposed to bring a temporary abeyance of any punishment to the people of the town, not to the murderer. He's still going to be punished. It doesn't do anything to prevent the murder from getting punishment, but it keeps the town from getting punishment. It's a little bit like an osham. You bring an osham to hold in abeyance any punishment that you may get until you find out, did you or did you not do the sin? So this Egla that had the Arufa process done to it, even though they now found the murderer, you finish burying it because al sofik basa mitchilasa. It was only brought as a sofik lechatchila anyway. And the Mishnah continues and says, kipra sveika v'hochala. So you got the kapara and everything is fine. Ner for Egla, v'achar kachrim sahorek, and when you find the murderer after the Egla was decapitated, harei, in this situation, zeyaring. So then it doesn't do anything for kapara for the murderer. You go through the regular basin to try the murderer if he, in fact, is going to be killed on a capital crime. The Mishnah continues and tells us, Eidechot Omer Isis Orig. Now, this parallels the Gemara we had early in the Masechta, and Rashi will tell us on the Omid Beis that he's not quoting on this. It's the exact same thing as the Shakavatari that we had with the Sota. We said that the Sota doesn't go through the drinking of the Mei Hamarim if there's even one person that knows. So we went through this entire discussion there with an Eidechot versus another Eidechot. So we have the same thing over here with the identity of the murderer. If anybody knows that the person who was killed, we know who the murderer was, so then we don't go through the Egla Rufa process. So the Mishnah tells us, Eidechot Omer Isis Horik. There is one witness that comes along and says, yes, I know who the murderer is. The Eidechot Omer Lo Reisa. And another witness comes along and says, no, you didn't see him. How could the other witness know that he didn't see him? So two possibilities. He says, you were with me at the time, and I didn't see anything. There was nothing to see. So how can you say you saw it? Or I was with the guy that was the murderer that you're claiming, and he wasn't with you at the time. So in any event, you have one witness saying, yes, I know who the murderer is, and the other witness saying, there's no way you can know who the murderer is. So it's Eid Echad Machish Eid Echad. Or you have Isha Meres Lo'isi, the Isha Meres Lo'isi. Not a kosher male witness, but you have a woman, and a woman disagrees with her. In both situations, you have the two Eidim knocked off, the man versus the man, the woman versus the woman, and therefore as if they don't exist, and therefore how you offer it. And then we do the Egel Arufa process. However, if you have Eid Echad Lo'isi, if you have one witness says that I saw the murderer, Ushtaimer Lo'isa, and two say, no, there's no way you saw it, so then how you offer? Then you certainly do the Egel Arufa process in that situation. But if you have Shnayim Omer Ra'inu, two say that we saw the murderer, the Echad Omer Lehen, Lo'risa, and one says that they didn't, so then lo yofen, then we wouldn't do the Egel Arufa process because we have the two witnesses and we believe the two witnesses. The Gemara will explain, like we did previously, why you need all of these cases over here. Okay. The Gemara continues and tells us, Mishir Rabu Ratzchanin, when the Nebuch was so many murderers, so bought Egel Arufa, the din of Egel Arufa no longer applied. As the Gemara will explain, because you have to say you don't know who the murderer is. But here, there were so many murderers, it became so public knowledge, so everybody knew who the murderers were, even they didn't know all the details, if they didn't have actual witnesses, who the murderer was for this particular case, but they knew who the murderer was, and therefore, the din doesn't apply. Egel Arufa only applies when you don't know who the murderer is. And the Mishnah gives us examples. Mishabai Eliezer ben Dinai, who is also known as Uschina ben Prisha Hayanikra, that's one way to understand it. This person, Eliezer ben Dinai, went into hiding and he took upon himself another name, Utchina ben Prisha. However, he was the same guy, and Chazulikroso ben Haratzchan. They just called him the murderous guy. So that's who he was. Others say there was two different people over here. But in any event, what the Mishnah is telling us is they knew who the murderers were, so therefore the Egel Arufa process was no longer allowed to be done. Similarly, there are many other processes that stop being done. This is towards the end of the Bayi Sheni, when Nebuch, the spiritual atmosphere, was unfortunately terribly low. So, Mishirabu Haminoafim Pasku Amayim Amorim. When Nebuch, there was a lot of adultery going on, so then they stopped drinking the Mei Sota. Furthermore, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was the one that stopped them, and he based it upon this pasuk that we have from Hosea. The full pasuk says, Lo Efkod Al Benosechem Kisiz Nena. Now we'll darshan all of these words eventually, but for right now, we only quote some of it, and what we quoted over here in the Mishnah is basically saying that your daughters and your daughters-in-laws are committing adultery, and you also, that's what the Vagomer is, you also are committing adultery, so therefore the Mei Morim will not work. Mishnah continues and says, these two great Tanoim that are mentioned in the Pirkei Avos, that's how they're famous. We know their names. So when they, Nebuch, passed away, the Gemara will tell us, Eshkolos means Ish Shekol Bo. It's a mnemonic over here that these great people that had everything when they died, so that level of Talmud Torah and Midos and spirituality no longer existed. That's also when Machlokis started, as we'll see. And this is based upon the pasuk Shnemar, Ein Eshkol Lecho Bikura Ifsa Nafshi. So there's nothing to eat, the Eshkolos are gone, and we don't have the same level of learning. The Mishnah continues and tells us, Yochanan Kohen Gadol, Hevir Hodoyas HaMaiser. Yochanan Kohen Gadol stopped the Vidui Maiser. We know that they're twice in the Shemitah cycle, at the end of the 3 years and at the end of the second 3 years, we have to go and say, Biyati HaKodesh Min HaBayis, I did all of the things that I was supposed to do. So Yochanan Kohen Gadol stopped doing this. The Gemara will explain, because they no longer gave Maiser Rishon to the Levim, they gave Maiser Rishon now to the Kohen, so they couldn't say the Vidui Maiser. And the Gemara will discuss it in more detail. He also, Afu Bitel Asim Ma'orin, he also stopped the Ma'orin. The Ma'orin is a process that the Gemara will explain in more detail. But for now, we'll just say that the Levim would say to HaKodesh Baruch Hu various Tehillim that asked Hashem to wake up, so to say. And the Gemara will say, but that implies that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sleeping. Of course, he's not sleeping. So those were supposed to be said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in times of trouble. But here, it was relatively time of quiet, and therefore it looked like that people were thinking that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was really sleeping. So therefore, he stopped them from saying these kapitlach of Tehillim. That's Hanokvim. He also stopped, the Gemara will explain this in more detail, he stopped it from either causing a little blood cut on above the forehead of the animals or hitting the animals so that they would be easier to go and shaft, but it looked like they were making a mum in them, so therefore we stopped that process as well. We turn to Mizayin and Mibay, and the Mishnah continues. It says, Ad Yomav HaYopatish Makabi Shlaim. Until the time of Yochim Kohen Gadol, they used to go and hit, as the Gemara will explain, they used to hit the hammer on the anvil, they used to go and work on Chol HaMoed. They would do this for a Dov or Avi, the things that were allowed, but people far away wouldn't know this, and therefore he stopped this practice because the people far away would think that you're allowed to do things on Chol HaMoed, even when it wasn't a Dov or Avi. and also during his days, Yochel Kohen Gadol and Tzarech Lishol Ala Demai. He no longer had people having to question, did this Amoritz take off Demai? Most of the Amoritzim did, but some didn't. So he abolished this practice that you didn't have to answer anymore, because he made everybody go and take off Trumas and Maisus from Demai, so therefore you didn't have to ask anymore, did you or did you not take off Trumas and Maisus? Again, the Gemara will explain all this in detail. We're going to go Vaita now. The Gemara starts off and says, Tanu Rabbanon, Minayin Shem Nerav Fo Ha'eglo, V'achat Kachlin Tzohorim. If the animal was decapitated, and then you found the murderer, Shein Poteres, so that he doesn't get off, he's not atoned for in any way by the Eglo Rufa process. So the Gemara says, Tanu Loma, the Pasuk says, V'lo Aretz Lo Yuchupar, L'adom Esher Shupach Bo, Kiyim Bedam Shovcha, only when you go and adjudicate the crime that he did, only then will there be a kapara. But the Eglo Rufa does nothing for the murderer. Then we quote the Mishnah, Edechad Omer Yisi Yisari V'chulei. So we go through the exact discussion that we had previously in the Masechta in regards to Sota, and Rashi points out over here in Dira Mask of Armaula, he says, Sugyazu Kula Pirashtia, the Perik Mishikini on Daf Lamed Aleph Omid Beis, the Eino Chaluka Kan Klum. So we're going to go through this a little bit more quickly, because again, we're running out of time. So therefore, we'll rush through this Gemara. It's the exact same Gemara that we had on Daf Lamed Aleph Omid Beis, that when we're determining over here, the one witness that says that they did no, the murderer is similar to the one witness that knows that the man with the woman that committed adultery. So all of the same discussion regarding one witness against one witness, kosher witness, not kosher witnesses, this same discussion is over here as we had over there. So the Gemara starts off and tells us, time of the machishlei, the reason why when you had one witness say that I did see the murderer, and the other one said, no, you couldn't have seen the murderer, you were with me, and you couldn't have seen the murderer, that we still do the egla rufa process. This is because, time of the reasoning is, the machishlei, because the second witness contradicts the first witness. If that didn't occur, there was only one witness, so the machishlei, so then edechad mehemet, then we would believe the one witness, and we wouldn't do the egla rufa process. How do we know that? You know, immediately, because the Braisa tells us in the Tanur Rabbanun, the Pasuk says, lo noda mi. We don't know who murdered this Nebuch dead person, and that's why we do the Egla Rufa process. Implication being, Hanoda Miko Afilu Echad Besofa Olam Lo Yorfin. If even one person, even at the end of the world, knows who the murderer was, then we don't do the Egla Rufa process. Rabbi Akiva adds, and he says, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Minayin the Sanhedrin Shiro Echad Shaharigas and Efesh, Emakirino So Shlo Yorfin. If the Sanhedrin saw the murder take place, but they just didn't know who the murderer was, nevertheless, we don't do the Egla Rufa process. It's also based on the Pasuk, Talmud Omer, Veinenu Lo Ra'u. Follow Ra'u. When we say that the Sanhedrin says, we didn't see what happened. Well, here they did see what happened, even though they don't know who the murderer is, but they saw it, so therefore, we don't do the Egla Rufa process. Mark continues and says, Hashta the Amris Edech Mehemah. Now that you say one eight is believed, and we don't do the Egla Rufa process, so Idoch Chad Hechi Motzi Machishlei. So how can the second witness go and contradict him? Because after all, for Amar Ula said a famous rule, Komokum Shemina Torah Edech, whenever the Torah believes one witness, so it makes it Harei Kan Shtayim, as if there are two witnesses here. So then how can one witness come along and argue against what is now halachically two witnesses? Vein Varshal Echa B'Mokum Shtayim. So that second person comes along, how can he negate the first person? Because the first person, now we count as two. So that's what Ula taught us. So I'm like, Ula says you're 100% right. Tani, you have to change the lashon of the Mishnah. Instead of saying that they were orphaned in that situation, that the two witnesses contradicted each other, so we do the Egla Rufa process, so Ula says, change the Mishnah to say, lo way orphaned, because my principle is 100% correct. The first guy is counted as two, and therefore the next guy can't negate him. And Kach Omer, became Omer Yitzchak said the same thing, Tani, lo way orphaned. However, Rav Chiya Amar Tani, how you offer? Rav Chiya kept the gears that we had. So the Gemara says, Rav Chiya kashad Ula. Rav Chiya doesn't hold Ula's din, komok shemina Torah edechon, harei kashtayim. Everybody holds from that. So how could Rav Chiya argue with Ula? So the Gemara says, lo kasha. They're talking about two different cases. Kam bevachzachas, in our Mishnah, we're talking about they both came at the same time. So we never accepted the first one as two witnesses. So it's one against one. So therefore, their edus is hachosha, and therefore we have no edus, and therefore we have egla rufa. Whereas, in the case that Ula said, lawyer orphan, they came one after the other, Kamazal Chazer. So therefore, Ula's principle is intact. We believe the first one, now he's like two. So therefore, we don't believe the second one, he's like one. Mark continues and says, now we learned in our Mishnah, it said, Edechad Omer Ra'isi Es Ha'oreg, Ushnaim Omer Ra'isi. If one witness said, I saw the murderer, and two said that he didn't see the murderer, so then, Hayu Orphan. It's as if the one didn't occur. That implies, however, because you needed two to say against the one, if it had been one against one, Hochad Bechad, Loya Orphan, and therefore to you, to the Rebbe Chiya, it looks like Ula is correct and Rebbe Chiya is wrong. Here they're not coming at the same time, they're coming one after the other. So it's a Tiyufta on Rebbe Chiya. So one says, and what, you have no problems? I'm the only one that has a problem, Rebbe Chiya says. Ultameh, keep on reading the Mishnah. It then gave us a second case. Shnayim Omer Ra'inu, the Edechad Omer Lo Risam. Two saw, the murderer, and one said, no, you didn't see the murderer. So lo yofrin, they didn't do arifa at that place, because you had the two that said that they did see the murderer. But the implication is, hochad v'chad, hayofrin, that if in one against one, they would do the egel arifa process, because we'd say the two are machishim zezeh. So therefore, you have the same problem. So elamas nisim kula b'suli edus. So therefore, the answer is, we'll give one of two ways to answer this, both according to the shita of Rabbi Nechemiah, as we'll see. And the first answer is as follows. Elamas nisim kula b'psule edus. The first one is with this understanding of Rav Nechemiah, that we're dealing over here with non-kosher witnesses. The Omar, Kol Makom, Rav Nechemiah had said, Kol Makom Shemina Torah Eidecha, whenever the Torah believes one witness, in other words, a possible witness, so we go, Halech Acha Rov Deas, then you go by the majority. So, in this situation, V'asu Shtei Noshim B'ish Echad, Kishnei Anoshim B'ish Echad. And therefore, if it was two women against one man, it's no different than it was two men against one man. And therefore, you just follow the majority. And therefore, that's why the Mishnah states it as it does. Alternatively, we have a second version of Rav Nechemiah. V'ikad Yamrei, Kol Heicha, the Asa Eid Echad Kosher, Meikara. If there was one kosher witness, and then others come that aren't kosher, Afil Meyanoshim. Even if 100 women come, 100 non-kosher witnesses come, so they're viewed only as one against one. What are we talking about? For example, a woman came first, and this is the way you understand Rav Nechemiah. Rav Nechemiah, when we believe the first one to come along, you follow the majority. We created this scenario that it's two women against one woman, or like two men against one man. However, but if it was two women against one man, then we can view that as even Stephen. That's as if it was one against one. So therefore, that's why the Mishnah had to be stated as it was done. Again, we have to go weiter. We're running out of time. But again, we had the same exact discussion back on Daf Lamed Aleph. Nothing is different over here. The Gemara concludes that discussion now and says, why do we have to have the second and third cases in the Mishnah? They seem to be the same. One was two witnesses and one witness, and then it was one witness and two witnesses. Betarte psule edus lomeli. Why do you have to give me two cases like this? So Gemara says, because, ma'udatim, I would have said that when do we follow the two against the one of possible witnesses, kezlin and basa rov deos, l'chumra. That's only if we're going l'chumra. Avo l'kula, no. I might have thought, no. Kamash v'lan, that even when it's l'kula, we follow the two against one. That's Rav Nechemiah's din. Then we quote the Mishnah. It said, Nebuch, Mishirabu, or Otsun, v'chule, when there were so many murderers, they abolished the din of Egla Rufa. Turn around, when the Brisa, Mishirabu wrote Schon, when there were so many murderers, bought the Egla Rufa, the Brisa says the same din. Why? Here the Brisa gives us a reason. Lafisha ain't a ba, el ala safek. And the whole din of Egla Rufa is only because of a safek situation. But Nebuch, when there were so many murderers, Mishirabu wrote Schonim, begolui. Everybody knew who the murderer was. Therefore, bought the Egla Rufa. Therefore, there was no more din of Egla Rufa. The Mishnah continued and said, Mishirabu went off in Mechule. We said Nebuch when there were so many adulterers, so we stopped doing the Mehamor. We didn't do the Sota check. Why? Because the Gemara will explain. Because if the husband's not Naki, everybody's doing Neof, so then the Meh Sota don't work. Tanur Rabban, we're in the Brisa. The Pasuk tells us, V'nika Ish Me'ava. The man has to be without sin in order for the Meh Marim to work against his wife if she had Nebuch committed adultery. If the man is not guilty of adultery, then Hamayim both can assist the waters will check his wife. However, if the man is guilty of adultery, he does sexual immoralities himself, then the waters will not go and impact his wife. And therefore, since unfortunately this period of time there was so much niyuf going on, so they just abolished the whole thing because it was casting aspersions on the water. That pasuk that we brought down before from Hosea, since Nebuch, there was so much immorality going on, so the Mei Marim were taken away. Now, why did it say over here, V'omer, lo efkod, my V'omer, why did it have to state this as well? Because Gemara says, V'chi temo avon didei in, debonei udimnosei, lo, I would have said, if he did immorality, so then the waters will work, but if his children did immoralities, the waters would still work, tashma, that's what we come to learn. When the pasuk tells us, lo efkod abinosechem, kisizdena, v'alkalosechem, kisina afna, they're all committing adultery, and you and your children don't say anything about it, v'chitema, avon eshes ish in, avon de pinuya lo, and maybe you're going to say that it's only talking about when it's actual adultery, but not other sexual immoralities, like with the pinuya, so therefore, tashma comes to teach us, Kihem im hazonos, they're acting immorally with zonos. Yeparedu the im hakdeshos yizabechu v'gomer, they're doing all sorts of terrible things with pnuyos and rachman al islam with married women, and therefore the mei hamarim won't work anymore. What does it mean? My, the end of the pasuk v'om lo yovin ilaveit. What does that mean? The people won't understand that they're going to cause takala. They're going to fall. So Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amalem Novi Yisrael, the Novi told Klai Yisrael, imatem makpidim alatz b'chem, if you're careful with yourselves and you don't do these immoral things, then mayim bot kinish osechem, then the waters will work. However, v'im lad, if you're not careful, ain't a mayim bot kinish osechem, then don't expect the waters to work for your wives. Then the Gemara continues, mishirabu balianon nis avsu adinim. When Nebuch, it tells us a whole bunch of other things, that the spiritual wives were so low. When Nebuch, there were a lot of people that were just interested in pleasure, so then, nis'asu hadinim. Rashi explains, the mitog shehem ba'ali hanos, since people were so interested just in pleasure, ein matrichen atzmon la'ayim b'din, they weren't careful about dinim, and ubi'iser, and isurim, the hector, la'horos l'tzibah, to teach the tzibah properly. The mitog kach niskalkul masem, everybody in Nebuch went off the derech, the kivin shekein, ein la'kodesh baruch hu nachas ruach, b'olamo. Therefore, HaKodesh Baruch Hu was very unhappy, ein olamo noach lo. So that's what it means in the Gemara, when it says, Nebuch, when all of this kilkul adin occurred, niskalkul amasem, ein noach b'olamo. HaKodesh Baruch Hu was very unhappy. Mishrabu roi ponim b'din, when people Nebuch showed favoritism in din, the pasuk tells us that you're not allowed to show favoritism in din. Lo sakiru ponim b'mishpat. So therefore, batel lo saguru. So no longer is the din that nobody should be afraid when they're judging. That won't apply anymore because they're not judging properly. And likewise, upasak lo sakiru, because they're showing favoritism. Furthermore, uparku o shamayim, and when the people removed the yoke of shamayim, they didn't have Omachu Shemayim, V'nasu Olam Obas V'dab, and instead they trusted on human beings and didn't turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mepharshim was saying that they went to the secular courts rather than to the Yiddish courts. So, Mishirabu Lo Cheshil Chishul Adin, and furthermore, when there were lawyers, Rashi says, Lo Cheshil Chishos is Orchei HaDayonim U'mislachashim HaDayonim. Instead of the proper way, which is the Dayonim should be the interrogators and the defendants and the prosecutors of the case, with no bias, they don't have a prearranged notion. Instead, there were lawyers that were ta'anim that would only side with one guy. They weren't looking for MS, they were looking to support the guy that hired them. So therefore, this caused the terrible destruction. So Rabba Charon Apisua, Kosh Baruch was very, very upset. And he left us. As the Pasuk says, Mishum Shenemar, the beginning of the Pasuk says, Nitzav Ba'adas Kel, Bekerev Elokim Yishpot. He didn't want to be with us because we didn't judge properly. Furthermore, Mishirabu Acharei bitzom liba molech, when people went after what they desired instead of going after what's right, so Rabu Omrim Lora Tov Vela Tov Ra. So then people didn't understand who was right, who was wrong. And as Rashi says, Shem Mishabchin es Rasham, they would praise the wicked people and not praise the Chachamim, the good people. And Mishirabu Omrim Lora Tov Vela Tov Ra. And when such people occurred, Rabu Hoi Hoi Bolam, that caused a lot of woe to come to the world. And Mishrabu Moshe Arok, when people spit a long distance, Rashi says that in this situation, they're basically demonstrating that Marich and Arok, Umidas Gaibahu, this is an arrogant posture to take. So Rabbi Yehir, so people became very arrogant. And Ismatu Atamidim, and people no longer could become Tamidei Chacham, because the Torah stays away from people that are arrogant. But Torah Chazer Salamdeh, and the Torah sort of said to look for people to learn it, because there was nobody that was humble. Mishrabu Yehir, when these people who were arrogant multiplied, his slu be no soli nasali hear him. So people married them because they didn't realize that they were so bad. Shane Dorenu Roa El Lapotim, because they only saw the outside. They looked like they were good people, but they really weren't. The Gemara questions and says, Ini, is this really true? Elsewhere we say, Omar Mar, we learn, Hai Mandi Miar, a person who's arrogant, Afilu Ain She Base Lo Makabo. Everybody recognizes he's arrogant and they don't even accept him in their own house. Gemara says, this is based upon the posture. Nemar, Gever Yoreh, Lo Yinve, a person who's arrogant, he won't even be able to build his own house. So Gemara says, Lo Yinve, Afilu Benov Shalom, which means he won't even be able to build his own house. So how can you say that everybody would want to run to such people? So Gemara says, no, Meikara Kav Tzaleh. Originally, people didn't recognize that they were arrogant, and they jumped to be with them. Lesof, Bitzazel Alayu. Only afterwards, they realized how bad they were, and they wouldn't be able to go and sustain their own houses. As Rashi says, Nimas Beinem, they became disgusted even by their own family. Mishrabu Matile Malaya Bali Batim, when judges unfortunately got into business, as Rashi says, Adayonim Matile Malay Prak Macho Shalem Abali Batim, so the judges started going and giving business to all the people, so Rabbi Shochav Atoyas Mishpat, so all of a sudden the judges are in cahoots with all of the litigants, and therefore it was terrible. It's like Shochat, Upaska Tova, and all good stopped. And furthermore, when the judge says, Mikableini Tova Scha, I acknowledge that you have done me a favor. And yes, you've done me other favors. So therefore, Rabu Isha Yosh Bein of Yasa, everybody said, hey, I got the judge in my pocket. I do whatever I want. Shifalim Hugbahu Vagbahu Mushbalu. So the low lives, they were raised up, and the people that were good Erlicha people, they were put down. Umachusa Azla the Navla. And Nebuch, the Jewish government, deteriorated and got destroyed. Mishrabu Tsari Ayin, Vitarfe Teref, and when people unfortunately became very stingy and didn't give tzedakah, and they grabbed all sorts of things that they weren't supposed to take, Rashi says they were Gazlanim. So that caused Rabu Ma'amse Alev, that caused, Rashi says, Ma'amse Alev are people that wouldn't have mercy on poor people. And people no longer went to go and lend money to poor people. Everybody became very hard. The Avru Abash Kosav Torah, and they went against what says in the Torah. Now this pasuk is really by Shemitah, but it applies here as well. Hisham Elcha Pen V'Gomer. And the end of that pasuk tells us, that you won't give tzedakah. Furthermore, Mishrabu Natiyos Garun Misakros Enoyim, when the women walked about in an improper sexual fashion, the necks were stretched out and they winked at the men, and this was inappropriate. So Rabu Maim Rab. So then there should have been a lot of women, Nebuch, that would have to drink the Mayam Arim. However, Elosh Apostle, but the rabbis stopped that, as we had explained before. Mishrabu Makabli Matonos, and when Nebuch, a lot of people accepted gifts. So Nismatu Ayom and Niskatsu Ashanim. So they lived shorter lives because the Pasuk said, "Dirsiv v'soni matanos." A person hates getting matanos, so yechia, such a person will live. Mishrabu Zechuchei Halev. When people became arrogant, Rabu Machlokes Zod, that caused Nebuch Machlokes to occur. As Mishrabu Tamidi Shammai Vehilo Shaloshim Shukol Tzarchot, as some of the Tamidim of Beishamai and Beisilo, Nebuch didn't serve their rabbis as appropriately as they should have. So therefore, Rabu Machlokes Zod, that also caused tremendous Machlokes Zod because they didn't do the proper Shimosh, and therefore they misunderstood, and there was a lot of Machlokes. Benases Torah Kishtei Toros, and it looked class to show like there were two Torahs. Furthermore, Mishrabu Makabli Tzedakah Minor Over Their Kochavim, when people took tzedakah from Goyim, which you're not supposed to do. Remember, we had earlier in the Masechta that Daniel was punished for allowing Nebuchadnezzar to give tzedakah to the Jewish people who desperately needed it. It made things all upside down. Now, this is a euphemism. We were on the bottom, but we say over here, but we were on the bottom, and they were not on the bottom, they were on the top. This is a euphemism. We find in many places, Sony Yisrael, it really is talking about Yisrael. So Yisrael Lufnim, Vehem Lachar. And we're on the inside, they're on the outside, it was the other way around. They were now on the inside, and we were on the outside. Following quote to Mishnah, it said, Mishemes Yosef ben Yoezer and Yosef ben Yehuda, so it said, the Eshkolos stopped. Hi Eshkolos, what does it mean, Eshkolos? I said this before, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Ish Shakol Bo. It means a person who has everything. So Nebuch, these great people died, and things unfortunately were no good. We'll stop over here. This is a good break point. Mitzvah Shem, these are beautiful daven. They deserve a lot more time than we're giving them. But with this, we conclude today's shir.